Okay, let's do a podcast.
Technorama episode 496, Los Podcast Hermanos.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Say, when stars explode, where does all that heavy material go anyway?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, welcome to the show. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing great. I'm actually enjoying the weather because last week it was snowy. This weekend it was like in the 70s. Welcome to the South.
Yeah, it's a little more even-keeled here in the Southwest. I forgot to say, if you're returning to Technorama, thank you for rejoining us. We appreciate you giving us your time, and we've got a lot of stuff to cover in this show. So without further delay, as we've already had a few delays on the technical side before we hit record button, actually we had multiple attempts to hit record button. Oh, it's just one of those things about podcasting. Craig and I spent a whole bunch of time trying to get audio and video working. And oddly enough, I've got a delay this week, and you don't. So there's...
Here we go. That'll teach you.
The focus was on Craig's video, and we tried to get some other things in the studio working. But you know what? This is an adventure every week. You know what? We have some video. I mean, not video. We have some feedback. Okay. We have lots of video.
Hey. Oh, we get letters. Every day. Mailman today.
Reach right out and pull one out.
Craig, my pants.
He can do that in real time now.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that wasn't a letter. That was actually my pants. Sorry.
We have a real life cognitive artifact letter. Not one of these electronic kind, but the kind you can hold in your hand. We got a postcard from our good friend, Yorga. Craig, I believe you got one on your end. Do you?
Bam, see right there.
Oh, your picture's different than mine.
Is it?
Okay. Well, you're holding it sideways. It's meant to be in portrait mode. Tromso. Northern Lights. My postcard is the picture that's on the top of yours, of that church-looking building.
Yeah, is it a church? Is it a...
It's a church. It's a plane. It's Superman. I don't...
It's actually... You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the Air Force Academy Chapel.
Really?
In Colorado.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll just show you a picture of it. We were there when we went on our big trek in June.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out there on our way to the Philmont Scout Ranch. And we stopped at the Academy and... I'm going to tell you, that chapel is impressive. It's pretty nice.
I'm going to have to stop by and see it sometime. And Yorga, yes. I just got back from California, so your postcard is on its way. Look for that. Hopefully it'll be there shortly after this show goes out, at least.
Hey, maybe since I haven't been traveling a whole lot, maybe I should just send them a bunch of them from my hometown.
There you go. This is the Rock Hill Bar. This is the Rock Hill Church.
I'm going to print some. You know, I'm sitting in a park bench, and then I'm sitting in a bar. I'm sitting in, all places around town.
Just send them 3x5 cards with your drawings on them.
I do that.
make your own.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Yorga. If you want to get in touch with us, let's play the rest of the music just so we feel like we get some closure. Send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com, where you can call us on the listener line. We'd love to hear from you, 707-530-2428. That's 707-530-CHAT. We kind of did that on purpose.
And by the way, I do want to mention that I do enjoy getting the postcards from Yorga because it's kind of fun to see where Yorga's having his adventure.
He is all over Europe.
I know he is. He's to come to the States.
He has been to the States.
I mean, like, and where?
Come to see us? Well, anyway, we didn't get any comments on Facebook or anywhere else, so thank you for all of the likes and shares for the last video. You guys did awesome. If you'd share and like this video, we'd appreciate that as well. That helps spread the word about what we do and the fun we have on this show. I think it's time to move into the history segment. What do you think?
Oh, more history. Oh.
Let's do it. We love that history thing. For it was on this day in history, January 18th, 2017. This is the 18th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 347 days remaining in 2017. It was on this date in 1535 that the Spanish conquistador Francisco Pizarro founded Lima, the capital of Peru.
Also on January 18th, 1778, James Cook is the first known European to discover the Hawaiian Islands, which he named the Sandwich Islands because they're so tasty.
Sandwich Islands.
Yeah.
It was also on this date in 1788 that the first elements of the first fleet carrying 736 convicts from Great Britain to Australia arrive at Botany Bay.
Why do I remember that name? 133 years ago today, Dr. William Price attempts to cremate the body of his infant son, Jesus Christ!
Price.
Setting a legal precedent for cremation in the United Kingdom.
Was it Jesus or was it Jesus?
Maybe. I don't know.
January 18th, 1896, an X-ray generating machine is exhibited for the first time by H.L. Smith.
Also on this date, in January 18th, 1903, a transmitter in Wellfleet, Wellfleet, Massachusetts, sends the first transatlantic radio transmission to originate in the United States.
It was 40 years ago today that scientists identify a previously unknown bacterium as the cause of the mysterious Legionnaires' disease.
Also on this date, in 2005, that the Airbus A380, the world's largest commercial jet, is unveiled at a ceremony in Toulouse, France.
Nice job.
Yeah, thanks.
That was the name of one of the cats on Aristocats also.
Toulouse.
That's right. Happy birthday goes out of this day to American assistant to Alexander Graham Bell, Thomas A. Watson. Come here, I need you. I spilled coffee on my pants.
That's right.
Tell you when he was born, in 1854.
It doesn't matter. It was just this. He was born today. Oliver Hardy, the American actor, comedian, was born 125 years ago today.
You know who Oliver Hardy is, right?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
He's one half of Laurel and Hardy.
Correct.
English.
You wanted me to tell you. I'm sorry. I didn't know that. Yes, I knew that.
English-American actor Cary Grant was born 113 years ago today.
American actor, singer, dancer Danny Kaye is born on this date in 1911.
And Ray Dolby, no relation to Thomas Dolby that I'm aware of. He was the American engineer and businessman who founded Dolby Laboratories. He was born 84 years ago today. I don't think we have any living people born today. Looking at our listener birthday calendar, we have a passel of birthdays. On January 19th is Jeff Powers and Michael Hickerson. January 21st is Michael Rabelais, a.k.a. Stingray 42. Tom Pose, father of Julia Pose, was also born on the 21st. 22nd has a couple of birthdays. TAWO12294. Why aren't you at your station? Why aren't you at your post?
Right.
Also on the 22nd, Jason Tucker. Kathy Luke from Illinois is on the 23rd. January 23rd is also the birthday of Chris Moody from the Patio Media Chat. And our good friend and friend of the podcast, Keith Lane from TG Geeks, is also born on the 23rd. Happy birthday to you. Finally rounding out our birthdays is Cynthia Fry on January 24th. Oh, we're just one day shy, which means next Wednesday is you-know-whose birthday.
Who? Oh, who? Yeah, me.
How old are you going to be there, old man?
Not old enough.
Old enough to drive? Old enough to drink? Old enough to know like better? What?
I tell everybody I still feel young and stupid, so it doesn't matter.
Well, one of those ain't bad.
That's right. I'll let you choose which one.
These are our friends, and we want to count you among our friends and give you a shout-out at the appropriate time of year. So if you want to know how to do that, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. Here comes the little title. There it is. And you can, for free, you can put your name in the appropriate place on the calendar. We'll give you a shout-out at the right time of year and make you feel all warm and fuzzy when you hear your name on our special podcast. And I use
by the way, yes. John Miller says I'm 87 in dog years.
More than that.
I was gonna say, wait a minute.
Isn't dog years like times 7?
That'd be like 12. Yeah.
All right. The band is going to keep playing and we're done. So that's the way it was on this day in history for January 18th, 2017. I got to get used to saying that. I'm not ready yet. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. Goodbye. Thanks, band.
All that matters is that you're able to sign the checks 2017.
We're going to do one Hacks and Strange Stories. We'll move the break.
Okay. Move it?
This isn't really a Hacks and Strange Story. This is more of a newsy thing. But hey, what the heck? Let's just do the thing.
Hey, we didn't have a good place for it, so I thought, what the heck?
We don't have a good place for most of the stuff in this show. We don't have a...
What? It's not a good place for us.
What was that all about? The Hacks and Strange Stories got hacked. I think. All right. Scientists have cooled an object beyond the icy limits of known physics. This one is an intriguing title. For the first time, physicists have cooled a mechanical object to a temperature colder than previously thought possible, taking it below the so-called quantum limit and bending the laws of physics. Maybe they use their Heisenberg compensators.
That's right.
Using a new technique, the team... Hey, look, my audio is almost in sync now. What's up with that? Okay.
You got some issues at your house. I don't know what's up.
Yeah, apparently. We'll blame it on the Chinese or the Russians sooner or later.
That's right.
Using a new technique, the team managed to chill a microscopic mechanical drum to an unheard of 360 microkelvin, or 10,000 times colder than the vacuum of space. It's the coldest mechanical object on record. Quote.
Hey.
Yes?
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, I've had some dates that were colder than that.
I was going to say something about Nana's wooden leg, but okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
This is a quote. It's much colder than any naturally occurring temperature anywhere in the universe. Team leader John Teufel from the U.S. National Institute of Standards and Technology in Boulder, Colorado, told Leah Crane from New Scientist. Well, next time I'm in Boulder, I'll have to look this gentleman up. He also quotes, "The results were a complete..." This is a different person. I have to read ahead. "There is a complete surprise to experts in the field," added one of the researchers, Jose Amentado, in a press release. "To be clear, this isn't the coldest object ever." That title goes to the Bose-Einstein condensates. Bose-Einstein's condensates are not only hard to say, they are a dilute gas of bosons that can be cooled to a temperature of as cold as 500 picokelvin, or that's 10 to the minus 12, and a microkelvin is 10 to the minus 6. But this is by far the coldest mechanical object, which means it's part of a bigger setup and could be used in future technology. Why do we care?
That's what I started to wonder. Why do we care, Chuck?
That's a big deal because... noise in normal organized light heats up any object a researcher trying to cool, and the limits of how cold it can get. Hence, you get the quantum limit. This is great for like telescopes, outer space telescopes, like the next generation of Hubble. You want to keep them cold.
Well, I think the bottom line was they were trying to cut down on noise and vibrations by cooling it to a certain temperature, and it'll keep it under certain constraints.
You know, when I get too cold, I start to vibrate.
Yeah, that's your body trying to compensate.
Okay.
But no, it is pretty cool, though. And I kept thinking, I think they use lasers, I think it said, to actually slow the motion of the atoms, to cool it down. And I'm thinking, you know, if I wanted to cool something down, my freezer is the coldest thing I've got to do that with. It's like how, I just couldn't fathom how they could get something that cold. Well, I guess, I mean, you should know. You lived in Wisconsin.
That was down into the micro Kelvins a couple of times a year. Yep, you're right.
Kind of neat. It's kind of neat, though.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You know what? We should let we'll play that little clip, and then we'll go to our break. We'll come back with the Remember When segments and some other stuff. So stick around. We will be right back.
All right. All right.
Hello, friends and neighbors. I'm your little podcast buddy, Dave Slusher. The Evil Genius Chronicles is the longest-running podcast on the internet, starting in August 2004 and continuing to this very day. It's a discussion of technology, culture, philosophy, comedy. Conversations may range from politics to comic books, from games to literature, but no matter where it leads, it's a lot of fun. There'll be songs, some interviews now and then. It's a weekly dose of audio joy, except during the dog days of podcasting, when it is a daily dose of audio joy. That's a good 80 episodes a year. And you can join the frivolity at evilgeniuschronicles.org. See you there. Excelsior!
My name's Adam Stelzner. I'm an engineer at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. And I think Technorama just might be the right kind of crazy.
All righty.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, I got my phone monitoring the video, and I saw it kick off and show that little animation that we had, the little video animation.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool. I knew it's there. I just wasn't expecting it, and I kind of saw it out of the corner of my eye. I went, oh, that's cool.
It's still fun for the second week in a row.
That's right.
We're going to keep using it as long as we can. I was trying to do something where I could get the audio of that. I don't know if you've noticed, but for whatever reason, there's a hum, and there's a neat echo. Yeah. So as you were saying, all right, let's go, and it echoed as I brought that in. It's like, go.
I did hear it a little bit. Kind of funny.
I want to get that coming out a different channel on the Mac Mini, but I can't seem to get Wirecast to send its audio from the clip somewhere else. It just has the ability to go to headphones and the stream. Anyway, neither here nor there.
It's always something, man. It's always something.
Tell me something I don't know. Shout out to the chat room. We have a number of people in the chat room joining us live on Facebook. We invite you to join us live on Facebook every Sunday night. We have Paul Thomas. We have John Miller Jr., John Clifford, Stephen Chopchick. Hope I'm saying that right. Well, we have you, me, and my wife, Donna, who's doing the video engineering. And we appreciate all of you joining us. Apparently, we've got 7 viewers, but it's not everybody's joined the chat. But thank you for joining us. We'd love to see you there. Go to our Facebook page, or where's the other place? Our regular web page, chuckchat.com/technorama on
it's
Sunday
only one
night.
We've had for 12 years.
So. If you follow the Facebook page, Technorama Podcast, then you get alerted when we start things up. So we'd love to see you there on Sunday night. We do this live, or you can get this in podcast form, the regular audio podcast that we've had for, what is it now, 12 years? Coming up on 12 years. It's crazy ridiculous. And we've got almost 500 shows. This is number 496. And we're still figuring things out as we go. We learn. We all get entertained.
That's why we love podcasting. It's a 12-year experiment.
That sounds like we're culturing something in a Petri dish, man.
When we figure all this out, we'll quit.
Let's do the happy-go-lively and get our Remember When. In the Remember When segment, we have an exceptionally rare photograph of President Lincoln's first inauguration. You know, I happen to be listening to the audiobook of Bill O'Reilly's story called Killing Lincoln.
Yes.
Very good recount of the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what happened to my music there. Hello.
No, I'm curious about the book, though, because I've seen it around, but...
Yeah, he's got a number of these. Killing Jesus, Killing Patton, Killing... He likes to kill people, apparently, I guess.
Killing Time.
There's another one. I think the latest one, if I'm not mistaken, is Killing the Empire of the Rising Sun, or something about the Rising Sun.
Right.
Referring to the Japanese Empire. But anyway, back to Lincoln. We kind of took a rabbit hole on that one. Yeah. Today, Bowdoin College is set to show off an incredibly rare acquisition, a vintage photograph of Abraham Lincoln's inauguration from 1861. The image, one of only three known to exist, shows a large crowd gathered outside the east side of the U.S. Capitol to attend Lincoln's swearing-in ceremony. Maine's Bowdoin College, I hope I'm saying that right, Museum of Art, which got its hands on the photo at an auction last October, will unveil the photograph later today. It's thought to have been taken by the renowned Scottish-American photographer Alexander Gardner, known for his work during the U.S. Civil War. Huh. I thought, not James Brady. He was Reagan's guy who got shot.
Yeah.
There was another Brady who was famous for his Civil War photography. Anyway. Only two other copies of this photo exist, one in the Smithsonian Institution collection and the other at the Library of Congress. This is the first photograph ever taken of a presidential inauguration, and it's one of the first shots of the so-called media moment. According to Bowdoin, the tradition of photographing politicians and other celebrities in public likely began at this very moment. The sheer existence of this 156-year-old photo is a small miracle unto itself. Photos this old without proper care will undergo various stages of decay. Photos, slides, and negatives are made by using chemicals that are sensitive to moisture, light, and changes in temperature. As the time passes, these chemicals degrade and image starts to fade away, typically turning yellow and developing cracks. Other factors, such as exposure to oil, dust, dirt, and some gases also contribute to picture deterioration. So the type of camera used to take this photograph was not known, but given the time period, it is likely the camera used a wet plate negative process, an important development that allowed for a theoretically unlimited number of positive prints on paper. Despite the blurry ghost-like features in the photograph, who probably were actually ghosts, because that's the way ghost photography started.
Well, they're ghosts now.
This method, more than likely, this method was considered fast at the time, requiring only a few seconds for exposure. Pretty cool stuff. If you want to read more about it, you can go to our show notes, click through to the old photography thing, and read about it there.
And by the way, in the show notes, I did post another link because I was viewing this page, there was another Lincoln post. It was a photo, possibly of him, the same day that he gave the Gettysburg Address. So I put a link to that as well. You can see the photo. It's kind of interesting to see everybody standing around. Looks like everybody's got their hands in their pockets almost, but you can see a bunch of soldiers and stuff.
Oh yeah,
standing around.
Some of them moved. You could tell it was a long exposure.
Yeah. So anyway, I put that in there just so you can go check it out too. I think they posted that a couple of years ago.
Neat. Paul Thomas says it was Matthew Brady. Thank you very much for helping out my ailing memory on that. We also have Craig. I'm going to let you take this one. It's a video that I'm not going to be able to play through the video stream right now, but it's called My Grandpa and His Acheron's Call.
Yeah. So Acheron's Call, of course, is a video game that's been around for a while since, 1999. Anyway, this gentleman has been playing it since then, and I watched some of the video. He was showing, I guess it was his daughter. Did he say it was his daughter that was showing the? Anyway, they're about to retire the game, so she was recording him playing it. He's been playing it since '99, and he's got characters that he created since day one. But he's been running around in the game, playing the game. Which anyway, I thought it would be cool to show because I know we got a lot of gamers that watch the show, and thought it'd be neat to see him walk around and do his thing. Anyway, that's why I put it in there. But I just thought it was kind of sad because, one, he's been playing it for so long, and they're about to retire. So I guess they're going to shut down the servers on at the end of January.
Oh, what will this man do?
He'll take up Evercrack or what was it? What was it? Ever? What was the big
Diablo?
No, not Diablo. Ever?
EverQuest.
My mind's blank.
Ever.
EverQuest. Yeah, because everybody called it Evercrack.
Right.
Because you got stuck on it for a while. Anyway. So anyway, it's kind of cool to go watch him. He's a 74-year-old guy. He's been playing since 99.
What am I hearing? Oh, it must be it's an ad on the YouTube page. I'm sorry.
You know, I swear, ads.
Oh, man, it's an ad on the page I'm trying to do for David Bowie here. Daggummit.
Oh, David Bowie. Yeah,
yeah, we're on to the next. I flipped up the page for the next one. It said, in 1999, David Bowie sat down for a TV interview with BBC host Jeremy Paxman. Bowie explained that if he were a kid in the 1990s, he wouldn't have become a pop star. Instead, Bowie would probably have become obsessed with the internet. Why? According to Bowie, that's where the potentially interesting, chaotic, nihilistic, and truly rebellious stuff was really happening.
Hey, he liked chatting with girls all day.
Chatting online with girls. That yeah. was... I'll play that one later. But the interviewer, Paxman, isn't convinced. Bowie had a back and forth with the end of the interview, who at one point says that he claims being made for the future of the internet are hugely exaggerated. Bowie shoots back with a wallop of sarcasm about people who doubted that things like the telephone would change the world. I don't think we'd even see we've even seen the tip of the iceberg. I think the potential of what the internet is going to do to society, both good and bad, is unimaginable, Bowie explained to the BBC. I think we're actually on the cusp of something exhilarating and terrifying. You can watch the entire video by clicking through our show notes. But it was a very good article, and he had some very good points. It was obviously in 1999, yes, we were on the tip of the iceberg, and a lot of things have changed in the last 16, 17 years since this video was made to back up his claims. So,
well, my thing was, even though, I mean, I'm no genius, but I'm going to tell you what, you didn't have to be a Nostradamus to figure out that there's a long way to go. Or actually what to realize what would be possible even back then in 99, even if you didn't know exactly what was going to come around, you could go, wow, you know, this could lead to something much larger. You didn't have to be a genius to figure that out. And
well, even now, I don't think we're still far from where we're to be.
Yeah. Once we get to a point, it's like every once in a while you get to a point and everything kind of about the same, all of a sudden, bam, something else comes up. And then everybody kind of chills out, and bam, something else comes up. You know, it could be Facebook. You know, everybody was kind of had web pages and stuff, and everything got to run. All of a sudden, Facebook comes up, and then you got, you know, a big social media war kind of thing going on.
Well, and there's...
who knows?
There's more than just the technology, too. There's the behaviors that go along with that.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's a big part of it.
What is acceptable? What do I have to do to reduce my risk of being, you know, putting myself and my family at risk from some of these things?
How do I keep my coworkers from seeing my drunk pics on Facebook?
Or my coworkers from posting my drunk pics on Facebook? Here's the rule. Right. Don't let people take drunk pics of you.
But I'm gonna tell you, if this journalist wasn't if he wasn't convinced or had no idea that, oh, this is something bigger than just what we're looking at now, I mean, I don't think he's doing his job. He didn't need to be arguing about the internet. Let's put it that way.
What do you think of telephones, Mr. Bell?
Oh, this is a fad.
It won't last.
They'll never stick around.
All right, I want to give a shout out to our patrons at this time. We have a number of people who are generous enough to contribute to the show to keep it going.
Yeah.
Offset costs of bandwidth, software upgrades, maybe even troubleshoot the video issues we're having tonight. We'll find out.
Yeah.
So thank you very much to Kyle Nishioka, Mike Wills, Steve Therian, Saturday Morning Media, Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Ben Vaughn, Dennis Patnod, Nick St. Gabriel, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman, Leon, and John Noble. We are eternally grateful to you.
And thank you.
We want to see your name, dear listener, up there. This show is for you. We consider these people our friends. And in return for their generosity, We also give them special audio clips that are only for our patron members. Just open-ended discussions that we have between me and Craig and anybody who decides to join us in the studio. That's just who we are and what we do. You could find out more at patreon.com/technoramapodcast, or again, go to our website, chuckchat.com/technorama, and there is a Patreon link there for as little as a dollar a show. That's all it costs.
I tell you what.
Yeah.
Why don't we do this over the next few weeks? Maybe I'll release a couple of the earlier Patreon shows and give everybody a taste of what they can find.
Oh, we could do that. A sampler.
Yeah.
Your first hit is free. Your first hit is on us.
Yeah. Yeah. You're young. We'll first get you one's okay. Hands. We'll hook you up. Yeah. You know where we live.
We'll have fun with that, I'm sure. Let's turn. What's next? Media Corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
In the Media Corner, we have a commercial for many of you are, I'm sure, like us, are fans of Breaking Bad. And you remember the restaurant they had as well, the restaurant was kind of a front for one of the drug lord kingpins, Gus. What was Gus's last name? Not Gus Grissom. He was an astronaut.
Gus Grissom. Oh, man.
Frank. No, that's Man in the High Castle. That was Frank.
Anyway, so it's a front for that meth.
Yeah. And the name of the restaurant was called Los Pollos Hermanos, the Chicken Brothers. Mm-hmm. And we've even seen T-shirts. People wear these T-shirts. See them at DragonCon or other places all the time. They've made a real commercial.
I've got one.
You've got Fring. Yeah, you've got one.
It was Gus Fring.
Gus Fring. I was close. Frank.
Yeah, you were.
He's in this commercial as well. Let's see if I can get the audio going for this. If you just come across the webpage, it looks like a real commercial.
At Los Pollos Hermanos, we know only the best will do for you and your family. What does family taste like?
Family walks up to the counter. They're smiling.
The ingredients.
Fresh sliced tomatoes.
All prepared with love and care. And always delivered with a friendly smile.
Here he comes.
That's the Los Pollos Hermanos promise.
Come in and try our new curly fries.
There
he
is.
We are so sure you'll like them. And if you don't, they're on me.
Los Pollos Hermanos.
His reconstructive surgery went really well, I'd say. Oh, spoiler alert. That's funny.
Hey, you know what? I kept, as I was watching it, you know, I'm aware of Breaking Bad for sure, but they kept saying Taste of Family. I'm like, where is this video going to turn? You know?
Right.
They've been packing. Hey, it's like, don't look green. It's the people.
Don't look at where they wash their linens.
Is this real chicken?
No. It's laced with cocaine. This is the best chicken ever. I'm coming back again, man.
Taste the family.
That's gross.
That was the tagline. That's what I was saying. I was waiting for the video to make another turn. Oh, okay.
As Donna throws up our graphic of the McDonald's, it says over 1 billion geeks serve Technorama podcast. Yummy. All right. Speaking of what humans are literally made of, this is kind of a nice tie-in to our Soylent Green thing. One last article from Gizmodo. How are we doing on time? Oh, we're doing great on time. Humans are literally made of stardust after all. I thought this was a well-known fact, that the heavier elements in our body could only come from supernovae. Anyway, all too often, our flesh cocoons can feel like vessels of anxiety and existential dread.
But hey, that's the way I feel every day.
Your flesh cocoons?
When I get out of bed.
Your meat suit? But sorry, I've been watching too much Supernatural lately.
Meat suit.
But take heart, because new research confirms what scientist popularizers like Carl Sagan have been saying all along. Humans truly are made of, quote, star stuff. And we've got maps to prove it. Well, you need a map to prove it. This is interesting. I should have included this graphic. In the largest undertaking of its kind, a group of astronomers at the Sloan Digital Sky Survey in New Mexico have used the Apogee, the Apache Point Observatory Galactic Evolution Experiment. Sometimes I think they work really hard to come up with these acronyms.
No kidding.
The Apogee spectrograph to analyze the composition of 150,000 stars across the Milky Way. The team has cataloged the amount of, here we go again, CHNOPS elements, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, phosphorus, and sulfur in each of the stars, and mapped out the prevalence of these, quote, building blocks of life across the galaxy. Researchers found the center of the Milky Way to be the most abundant in CHNOPS elements. I just don't like saying that word. It's kind of like getting used to saying blog. But yeah,
I think they're blowing their government grant money on acronyms.
That's what interns are for.
We have a think tank and they just come up with acronyms. That's
$25,000 and CHNOPS is the best you could get. Can we throw in argon in there or something?
Boy, that really has really got some CHNOPS.
There's a Technorama commercial coming up here somewhere.
Yeah.
CHNOPS. Try the nacho cheese flavored.
Are you in need of acronyms?
But perhaps the most validating aspect of the research that these essential elements found scattered across so many stars also make up 97% of the mass of our bodies. In other words, we truly are children of the stars, as Carl Sagan was so fond of reminding us. Mm-hmm. It's a great human interest story that we are now able to map the abundance of all the major elements found in the human body across hundreds of thousands of stars in our Milky Way, Jennifer Johnson of Ohio State University said in the press release. This allows us to place constraints on when and where in the galaxy, in our galaxy life, had the required elements to evolve, a sort of temporal galactic habitable zone. Well, that doesn't sound too Star Trek, does it? Go ahead and check out the team's maps on SDSS, which is not short for anything. It's okay to feel proud after all. You literally are a star baby. And when you grow up, do you become a Star Lord?
Sure. Well, I guess technically you already are. A Star Lord and Lassie.
A Star Lord would mean you have stars working for you.
Also remember, my dog is made up the same stuff.
Mostly in the same organization.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that you have more in common with a mushroom than... They usually compare these really weird what? DNA strands.
I have more in common with a mushroom than what? Is it full of crap?
It is. Hey, Ranger Craig has joined us just as we're about to sign out. But we want to know... Craig, you have some really interesting questions from week to week. This week's question is, why? Why do you do what you do? Sounds like what you ask your kids. I assume
you
mean
do that?
From a career perspective, right?
It could be. Maybe cosplay or your geek.
Okay. It doesn't
matter. Yeah, whatever.
All right.
Yeah. Why do you do what you do?
Well, if you're a mass murderer, we don't want to know why you do what you do. Let's
keep that to
it on the positive side. Yeah. Let us know. You can call us on the listener line, 707-530-2428. Well, I was reading and not reading at the same time. My brain had an electrical short. 707-530-CHAT. We'd love to hear from you. Or you can email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. Leave a comment on the Facebook video that you are watching right here and now. If you are, in fact, watching us live on Sunday night, on the Facebook stream, we'd love to hear from you. Star-Lord, what's the sequel? Actually, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is coming out when this summer?
I think it was May. I'm trying to.
I think so.
Trying to pull it up.
The other movie that looked
May 5th.
Good, we were watching May trailers. 5th. The other one that looked good is Dunkirk, the story of the British soldiers that were left on the. What was it? Not Normandy. The beaches of the Netherlands, Holland. You know, that I can't remember the country. I've been watching so many documentaries. But great story if you want to hear about it. It's a World War II story that's coming up. Lots of other good movies coming out this summer that we will keep tabs on. By the way, I know that Ben and Keith from TG Geeks have been mentioning this, but Phoenix Comic Con is on Memorial Day weekend this year, and Donna and I are planning to attend again.
I was going to say again. Yeah, y'all, that's where y'all were at last time.
It's gone. It's gone back to Memorial Day weekend. I think the last year, or maybe the year before, it had moved to the first weekend in June. Well, it is not the first weekend in June anymore. It is that holiday weekend, which makes it a little easier for people to get time off. The celebrity list is growing.
It seems like y'all were just there like 6 months ago.
Well, we... 7 months ago. Nah. And there was another... There's a smaller one called Comic-Con Fan Fest in October. That might be the one you were thinking of.
Okay. Yes, that's the one I was thinking of.
That was a lot more fun.
I didn't think... Yeah, you're right.
So the one that's coming up in May, we are going to... And if you want to find out more, you can go to phoenixcomiccon.org, I believe.
You can try and get some interviews.
We are going to try and get some interviews. Last year was sort of an exploratory, let's establish some relationships thing. But we do have some interviews in the pipeline. We just released the SF Edwards on Friday. Yes?
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
No. No, it was my fault. I'm sorry. I did not.
Oh, man. We even talked about when we wanted to release it. So we do.
I know. I'm sorry. Hey, look, I've been super focused at work and I totally forgot about it. I'm sorry.
All right. We'll let it slide. We will get that out this week. It is phoenixcomiccon.com, as my wife and video engineer is telling me. Thank you very much. We hope to hear from you, see you there. And with that, I think it's time to sign out, Craig.
Okie dokie.
I got to keep muting that thing because there's a nasty whine that comes off of that channel when I'm on Skype for whatever reason. So I mute it and then I stop. So thank you. You can find us at Technorama Podcast on Facebook. You can find our website at chuckchat.com/Technorama. You can find us on all the other places. Just look for Technorama or Technorama Podcast. If you do a Google search, we'll come up there as well, usually with the Technorama Swiss Science Center. But hey,
yeah,
we battle for position on who gets ranking there.
And we're in good company.
We are. They're a lot of fun. Someday I'll actually release the audio to that. Till next time, tell a friend, share this video, like this video, do what you can to help promote us, whether it's through Patreon or free methods that I just mentioned. And Craig, would you be so kind as to give me a binary high five, our traditional salute?
101. There, I nailed it again.